So we're going to go through John chapter 12, and we're going to look at it. We're not going to read it all, but I want to talk about the events of Holy Week as we're going into Easter. It came up all of a sudden, but you know, the events of Holy Week are found in the four Gospels. They're found in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. They're found in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 48, and John chapter 12, verses 12 through 50. So tonight we're not going to read all 12 through 50, but I'm going to go through some of that tonight. Palm Sunday celebrated each year. Why do we celebrate it? Do you know why? Anybody know why we celebrate it each year? We don't have a big party, but we know what Jesus did for us. We celebrate it each year to recall the events that happened and the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. For us this evening, we can read and reflect on those events that happened. They actually happened. I believe they do. And I know it gives us a roadmap. For us, the reminders of what Jesus did for you and I also today. We're reminded of those people who one day were shouting Hosanna, as we sang a song earlier. One minute they were singing Hosanna, and later in the story we read those same people were calling for crucifying him. Much like people today, we either have a choice to accept and believe, or we can reject. We're called each year to remember, one, to remember, two, to reflect, and three is to share the good news. People will step foot in a church on Easter Sunday and Christmas. We call the term that is mentioned, they call Christers, Christmas and Easter people. And you say, well, why do they come? But there's actually three days that people will step foot in a church that normally would not go. They go Christmas, they go Easter, and they sure go on Mother's Day. Because if mom is a Christian and she's in church, guess what? They're going to be there whether they want to be there or not. You know, I had a meeting with the DS the other day, and they were talking about, they said, make sure on Easter Sunday that you bring up the event about Mother's Day, because it plants the seed that they know they got to sit next to Mother on Mother's Day. So, but you think about that. We can remember what Jesus did for us. We can reflect on all that happened. As we'll talk about, you talk about the way of sorrows. We can see what he went through when he was beaten, when he was broken, when he was hanging on a cross. But we know he's not there. The cross is empty. It's all been said and done. But it's a hope that we have, this good news that we can share with people and that we can share within our hearts as we reflect and we remember. But we must be willing to follow Jesus, no matter what the circumstance or situation that we're dealing with. In John chapter 12, we read of these events of Holy Week. And I entitled the message, The King's Last Acts. And someone said, well, why did you name it that? And I'll tell you why. Have you ever been rejected or misunderstood by somebody? Have you? I have many times. I've been criticized, put down. You raised your hand, yeah. It's not good to be rejected, is it? It's not good to be misunderstood. I come from the East Coast, and sometimes I might say something that does not sound Oregonian, maybe. You know, and then, but it's an East Coast slang, but you may have slang. You know, we had a saying in Kentucky, we said, if you don't care to. Well, I used to think if you don't care to means they don't want me to help. Well, what they were saying is if you want to help, you can help. But I had to understand that. I had to understand what a bag was. I didn't know a bag and a poke were the same thing. When the guy asked me if I wanted a poke in Kentucky, he was asking if I wanted a bag. And I said, no, I don't want a poke. I thought he was going to poke me. But it was a bag. But I had to learn. But it's interesting, you know, when we live in a world today, we are going to be rejected sometimes. As Christians, sometimes we're rejected by family members. Sometimes we're rejected by our friends. Sometimes co-workers. Sometimes we're rejected because of what we believe. We can be misunderstood also. But you know someone else that was misunderstood and someone else that was rejected was Jesus Christ. And we know what happened Holy Week. We know that we know what Jesus might have felt like, in a sense, when we know what rejection is. His public ministry was going to come to an end. He was finishing up his ministry. He knew he was going to die. Public hostility against him had risen to a fever pitch, and as we get to Good Friday, we'll know what that, when you see the Way of Sorrows, we'll see this. But how did Jesus respond to that? He showed compassion. He was silent, even when he was being beaten. He could have called legions of angels down, and it'd be done like that, swept them away. But he did not. But Jesus knew what was coming, and he faced it willingly. His disciples often heard him talk of his pending death. However, they did not understand. This is where we're talking about. Sometimes we're misunderstood. I think the disciples didn't fully realize what he was saying. On Palm Sunday, many, many years ago, there would be a crowd of people who heard that Jesus was coming. The crowd sought to make him a king, an earthly king. But he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was over all, but they were misunderstanding. But we know that Jesus chose the way of the cross. As we see the cross, it's a reminder of what he did. We think in the beginning of John chapter 12, we see 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. Why do you think he went to Bethany? When you read the scripture, but think about it, he was saying his goodbyes. He was fellowshipping with Mary, with Martha, with Lazarus, the disciples, and many others that were there that weren't named in the scripture. He was saying his goodbyes, but he was also being anointed by Mary when the perfume was broken. She anointed him. We know Mary poured expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. John chapter 7, we see Jesus responding to Judas's remark. Judas was upset because he could have sold that perfume and made lots of money. But it was there because Jesus told them, he says, I'm going to die. And she was anointing me for burial. Once again, we see in the scripture in John chapter 12, Jesus again would tell the disciples he was soon departing, but it fell on deaf ears. They didn't fully understand. But we were also told in the scripture that a great crowd was there in the area, that they have come for a feast. And some of those in the crowd heard that Jesus was coming. And as they came into view, many went out to meet him. And they were waving palm branches. Many, many times in churches where I've been, we had palm branches. And everybody would get one and wave it. And you could imagine what it would have been like. Palm branches in Mauritius are about 8 foot long on the palm trees. And they're long. I mean, can you imagine waving something like that? But I imagine that's what, maybe not 8 foot long, but it would have been something like that. Could you imagine what it would have been like to be there and all these branches waving and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But soon they would say, crucify him. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, many went out to meet him. They waved palm branches, they put their cloaks down on the ground, one of the scriptures says, and they began shouting, Hosanna, which means save us now. They wanted him to save them from the Roman oppression. They also said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the King of Israel. In verse 14, we're told that Jesus was riding on a colt or a foal of a donkey. Now, if you were going to be a king and you were going in to conquer a place, you're not going to go in on a donkey. or even a foal. I think, I don't know how big it must have been, but it must have been big enough to ride. You want to go in on a white stallion, and you're going to go in with a legion. He went in with disciples that were fishermen and other people that straggled along. He wasn't coming to conquer Jerusalem. He was coming in to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if he was an earthly king, a king of Israel, he would have come on that white stallion, like I said. Verse 23, Jesus was telling his disciples again. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He was trying to get the point across. Isaiah 53, verses 3-8, we are told that he was despised and he was rejected. He was a man of sorrow who knew suffering. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Think of these things that Jesus is doing. These are the acts that he was doing. Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions. He would be crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. We can only know peace that passes all understanding if we are in Christ. He would bring reconciliation and restoration with God. Jesus would bridge the gap, and he gave us hope, a hope that was for eternity. It also tells us by his wounds we are healed. We think about that. You think, man, the wounds that he must have had. I heard a coroner's report say what it would have been like for Jesus today that he was whipped and beaten. And he said no human being would survive that. So he had to be the Son of Man, Son of God. Nobody would have survived those. The broken ribs, the broken bones, the whip that they had with those little spikes in there that would rip flesh and he would bleed. I mean, it's horrific. But it says, by his wounds we are healed, we're made whole. Jesus would pay the price for you and I. Verse 8, it says, by oppression, by force he was beaten, and he would suffer, and he would die a terrible death on a cross. He would be led like a sheep for the slaughter. And if, I don't know much about sheep and that kind of thing, but it says he remained silent. But I think when sheep go to the slaughter, they're not very happy. They know where they're going. As soon as the first one gets whatever they do to them, the rest of them are already in an uproar. But it says that he remained silent through it all. He would be cut off from the land of the living for our transgressions. He would be assigned a grave with the wicked and the rich. Jesus' life would be a guilt offering and a sacrifice once and for all. That's what happened this week as we go through the week. Jesus is the way, the truth, and he's the giver of life today. That's the hope that we have. He's the only way. He's the only truth, and he's the only giver of life. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. You know, he gave his Son willingly so we could be made in right relationship with him. It's a stark reminder of what God did for all mankind and womankind, all humanity. Today we either accept him, we can be in the crowd, I gave you a flyer there, a paper with Hosanna on it, or we can reject him. All we have to do is look around and see where the world and where people are, and many of them have rejected him. But on Easter Sunday, it's an opportunity to share the good news of the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternity. So I want us tonight to think about it this week. Read John chapter 12 and then continue on from there and see the events that happened of what Jesus did for us and what he did for you and I and what he's going to do for others. Because it's not exclusively to us. The church is out there. Those that are lost sometimes sit in the pews, sometimes they don't. Most of them are out there. I've met a few people this week, you know, and just talking, I can hear them. And all I hear about is all the negative and all that's going on, you know. I don't like this candidate or I don't like that. But where is our focus today? Our focus should be on him, on what he did for us. That's our promise. That's the good news. When I get up in the morning, I thank the Lord every day that he gave me another day. But I say, Lord, help me to be a blessing to someone. Help me to share a word of encouragement with someone. Help me to be all that you want me to be. I think of what Jesus did. He set the example. You know, how many of us could face the cross today? I sure wouldn't want to do it. I'd look for another way out. But he did it willingly. He knew what was coming. You know, someone said, well, why did he have to do that? He did it because of love. He did it for you and I. One of the things, and I'll close with this, when a Hindu becomes a Christian, the interesting thing is, one of the ways that they know about Jesus is when they watch the Jesus film and they see the resurrection, or the crucifixion and the resurrection. But the thing that impacts them the most is why one man would give his life for all of humanity. They can't understand that. Even us today, we can't understand why would God do that? Why would he send his son into the world? But the scripture tells us he sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. That we would be saved. We would be made in right relationship. So as we go through this week, look at these scriptures in Matthew. I'll repeat them again. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. Mark 11, 1 through 11. Luke 19, 28 through 48. And then John chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Take a look at them, because each one of the Gospels give a different perspective. There's something you will see in one that you don't see in the other. And I like that about the four Gospels, because we can look at it from different perspectives. So when you look at Palm Sunday, you look at Easter Sunday, look at it from your perspective. How would you write those events? How would they look to you? Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you did for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you came in on a donkey, that you came in, humbled yourself before the people on your way to Jerusalem. But Lord, the people would shout Hosanna. And they wanted a king, but they wanted an earthly king. But Lord, you are a heavenly king. You are the Lord of lords and King of kings over all. And Lord, you were trying to show them that by your humility. But Lord, you knew what was coming during this week. You knew that you would be falsely accused. You knew you would go to a cross and you would be beaten and you would go to a cross. But Lord, thank God that Sunday came and the promise of the resurrection on the third day. And Lord, we thank you for that. That gives us the hope of eternity. It gives us the hope with you. So Lord, be with us this week and help us to be a blessing to someone for you. That we can share the message of Easter. That it's not about Easter bunnies, it's not about chocolates, and it's not about Easter eggs and those things. It's about what you did to reconcile humanity to you. So Lord, we ask you be with each and every one of us and help us to, with these individuals that we'll be giving bread out, that we're giving the bread of sustenance, of food. But Lord, we're also giving out the bread of life, the hope. And Lord, we pray that they will come on Easter Sunday. We ask it in your name. Amen.